Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
All right.
Doing good.
Sweet.
Doing good.
Let's get it going. Happy Thursday. Start to the college football playoff semifinal day. I think that's sneaking up on people. Is that sneaking up on people
today?
Yeah, it
doesn't feel like it's today.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what I just realized? I got pointed out on Twitter, too. Today is the first of five consecutive days of playoff foosball.
Dude, indeed. And it's awesome, man. It's awesome. Think about this. You've got semifinals tonight, semifinals tomorrow, wild card Saturday, wild card Sunday, wild card Monday. Giddy up, buttercup. And it all started Monday, championship week, with the FCS National Championship. Do you see they had more? Are people starting to watch TV again? They had record viewership for the FCS national title, North Dakota State, Montana State. I think it was over 2 million people. Did you see the TGL ratings that came out?
Yeah, it was 3 million?
3.2 million.
I told you people cared,
with
man.
With average viewership throughout of 1.2 million.
Which
so
is,
it peaked at 3.2, but 1.2.
A lot of people checked it out.
Which
half
is
stayed.
Weird. Yeah.
Like, that's a good mark.
Yeah.
I bet you that'll take a dip as
it's
it
gonna
goes
XFL,
on.
Which maybe part of the genius of not rolling out Rory and Tiger at the beginning is, you
even
know, they
the
still got
check back in.
Yeah. Huh?
Because there's one thing we know. If Tiger Woods is hitting golf balls, people will tune in.
Yeah. The videos that came out after, they were doing like a setup and Tiger was talking with Rory and they had him mic'd up and they were talking, like Rory's like, well, how'd the setup go? First one, Tiger's like, so when I came in here, they asked me, they said, hey, do you think you'll be able to hit the camera at top? And I said, where's the camera at? First shot. Boom. And it showed video of Tiger actually, like, you could see him and he just kind of lines up his shot, steps up to the ball and just hits it. Boom. Nails a camera 60 feet up, or it was above the screen. So you said the screen was, what, 60 feet tall?
Yeah, it's like 65 by 54 or something. Yeah.
So he's like 100 yards back. It's 60 feet up in the air, and it's like a camera the size of like a football. And he's just like, boom,
bing.
First shot. Still got it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
See, this may be like it elongates Tiger's career because it doesn't have to walk anywhere.
I think that plays a part of it, right? It has to.
That kind of accuracy. It's like the old Tom Emanski baseball videos with the kid hitting the trash can from center field. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. You know what this is? In that same vein?
Fred McGriff, crime dog, baby.
It's the Ichiro.
Mm.
Have you seen the Ichiro video from Japan where
the
bats that are stood up?
Yeah.
Knocks each one of them down, and then he throws the ball from like halfway between home plate and first base, like on the first baseline, inside a trash can, up against the wall.
It's incredible.
Like, oh, okay.
Incredible. Yeah, those guys are mutants.
Yeah. The hand-eye coordination of like those kind of people, you're just like, oh, that's that's different.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I like that.
Carson,
I like
sometimes
seeing
I knock
greatness.
Over my glass when I go to take a drink.
It's just same.
Carson Beck, not the same level of hand-eye coordination.
I'm afraid to wear light-colored shirts because I'm going to spill on it.
Okay, so that's not just me?
Nah, dude.
I don't wear like black all the time because I like black. It's because I'm a mess and I spill all the time.
Yeah.
My wife was like, huh, how long you had that hoodie?
Yeah.
A couple weeks. How long until you get a stain on it? Can we not?
Yeah.
Can we not?
No.
I have a hole in my lip. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you just got to the lip piercing?
I did.
That's the least surprising thing. Military dude in early 2000s with
you can see the scars
too. Right with the flavor where the flavor saver is.
Oh, yeah,
oh boy.
I had a little it was great. I was getting on base at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was still feeling it.
Mm.
And I had my piercing in.
So you had eyebrow and
oh brother, if it lip? There's a lot of things I've had pierced.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know this.
I lost a bet.
Nope, stop.
Lost
nope,
a bet.
Nope.
Yep.
You can just abort that conversation.
The left one.
Right there.
I don't want to hear anything about Prince Albert.
Right there. But no, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I came on base and I had it in, which you're not allowed to. So if you did it, what you did was you put the clear plastic one in.
Mm, oh, of course.
Well, the classy one. Well, you can't see it, especially back then, because in the field that I worked in, I could have facial hair. So like right now, like the way it is, you wouldn't be able to really see it.
Mm.
But I forgot that I had the actual piercing in, and security forces decided to, do what they do and be complete bleepholes about it. And
that's the least surprising story I've heard today.
But
least surprising I've heard today.
Piercing's less permanent. That's my whole thing. That's why I don't have as many tattoos.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I used to get bored and get piercings.
All right. Did you know Smell-O-Vision is coming?
Well, we've got the.
This is what I was going to lead off with today, but we've been derailed by Danny's piercings, apparently. Yeah. Have you heard of the new Smell-O-Vision?
I've heard of the one the Blazers have, which is allowing blind people to watch basketball.
Well, that's not Smell-O-Vision. That's the haptic.
Yeah.
Blind people and visually impaired people can actually like feel where the ball is on the court and all that stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. No. Sony.
Mm.
Is allowing, there's a new feature on PlayStations that will allow players to smell the scents of the games they are playing. Remember, that was part of the show Futurama.
Yeah.
Was Smell-O-Vision, where you could smell what's on TV.
Well, there was a movie theater that was doing this with I can't remember what movie it was, but there was like where they were traveling around, like this is actually a thing that brands have done.
Soarin', California, back at Disneyland or California Adventure, they used to have like when you do go over like the apple or orange orchard, it smell like oranges there, right?
The Blazers a couple of years ago did your sense of smell is one of the senses that's most linked with memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so brands have been trying to do this for the last couple of years, is associate a certain smell with like whatever it is that they're trying to.
New shoe smell. Elite.
A great one. But the Blazer Dancers, they had a Arnold Palmer, like lemon iced tea smell. It was incredible. And when it first happened, the first couple times, I was like, I'm crazy, right? Like, what is that smell? And then somebody's like, no, it's like it's being like pumped in. And it's like,
oh,
it's,
weird.
And I was like, I love that smell. That is a fantastic smell. And so it was like, oh, they're like the association between these two things. I like this. This is fun. And it's just like, it's interesting to see where that stuff is going.
But I wonder if video games are the place for it.
No.
Because here is where this went a little sideways for me. Okay, Sony has debuted a conceptual technology at CES 2025 that would essentially allow gamers to enter the worlds of PlayStation games such as The Last of Us and see, shoot, and even smell the baddies. Last of Us, right? Zombies that were created because of a fungus.
Yeah.
Do we want to smell that? Like, in are we really going to have the smell of death coming through your PlayStation as you're...
I mean, I would imagine for most of those kids or most of those parents, those kids smell like that anyways.
But, I mean, like...
Stinky kids.
You're going to have, like, you're going to be playing these games and you're going to have, like, you shoot the gun.
Look,
it smells
smell of gunpowder.
Gunpowder.
I'm in.
And then you run past a body and it smells like blood. I don't think we want that.
Like a little iron smell?
Now, you can get me here if you're playing like MLB The Show and it smells like fresh cut grass.
And hot dogs?
Popcorn. Sure, hot dogs. Like it smells like Cracker Jacks and fresh cut grass.
Nachos and stale beer.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Like if you could play NBA 2K, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, I want to play in the Moda Center. And it smells like Moda Center. And then you go to oh, you know what? I want to switch up the arenas. I want to play in the Glass Palace today. Mm. I want to go to the Coliseum. It smells like stale beer and old popcorn. Mm. Yes. Yes.
Smell, you go to Boston and it just stinks.
Right. Give me some of that. Yeah. Nolens. Smells.
Just nothing but beignets.
Yeah. I would be down for that. But I feel like that wouldn't work.
Again,
for all
I love this. I love the smell of firearms. So I'm in on this for some of this for sure.
Yeah,
like
Smell-O-Vision. It's coming to a PlayStation near you, but could be coming to a live sporting event on your TV too. You know, like they do the post game interview and it smells like sweat, and you're just like, duh.
Bunch of stinky dudes.
Yeah.
Or after, you know, you're getting the locker room interview and it smells like weed.
Wow. Does it?
I mean, yeah.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
That would be the best if you're watching. Say you're watching
Matthew
the
McConaughey.
Cotton Bowl tomorrow. And the Minister of Culture, like they're walking down the sideline of Texas, right? And it smells like fresh cut grass or field turf. And then you walk past Bevo, it smells like cow turds. And then you get to McConaughey, and the camera pans over to Matthew McConaughey, and it smells like weed and bongo drums.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I would be so in on that.
You know? That's not that, a bad place to be.
Smell-O-Vision would be great.
Why does it smell like skunks?
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about
that. Explain that one to your kids. Why is Matthew McConaughey so stinky?
Smells like our neighbor's car. Oh, man. Well, yeah, so Smell-O-Vision's coming.
I'm in on some Smell-O-Vision.
I am, too. With guardrails, though. I don't think we want to know.
Can you opt out of smells?
I think so. Like, yeah, that's in your game settings there. Like, dead bodies? Out. Out. What would Grand Theft Auto do? Like, you want to talk about kicking Grand Theft Auto up.
Bro. Have you seen what they're doing?
You can go into strip clubs on that game.
In that vein, like, they brought in, like, again, this is, I can't believe I'm going to say this sentence, high-level strippers and threw them in motion-capture body suits and had them throwing that thing all over the place so they had the strip clubs to be more realistic. So what, you're going to go in and it's going to smell like lotion and glitter?
Maybe.
And sadness?
A little coconut oil.
Oh, man. That would be...
Hey, you want to smell depression?
Like kids are going to be like, hey, I know that smell.
That's weird. My dad smells like that.
Oh, man. all right. NASCAR game smells like...
ooh, burnt fuel. Rubber? Oh, burnt God, rubble octane and burnt rubber? Oh.
All of a sudden, NASCAR games have gotten all-time high as kids are literally getting high playing those games.
Gas fumes coming out of your PlayStation. A little fighter pilot game smelling like some JP-8 jet fuel.
Jet fuel?
I'm in.
All right.
Jet fuel and
That's crazy.
The smell of barbecue.
Yeah. Yes, that would get me to play like a Masters of the Grill game, you know?
Oh, I was just thinking about when you drop a bomb.
Flipping steaks. Oh, okay. That kind of barbecue. Golly, you're talking about torching humans. I'm over here just talking about a steak.
I mean...
maybe a nice little brisket on the smoker. It's
the same thing. It's just a level of desperation.
Yeah. Dang. Golly. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? It's a quick one. It's a turn in Bernie because we've got at 2:30, we hand over to Oregon Ducks basketball.
Mm.
They're playing Ohio State. Revenge game for Oregon basketball at Ohio State in Columbus, taking on the Buckeyes. So we'll hand it off to Joey Mack with the play-by-play of Ducks Buckeyes at 2:30. This afternoon, but from now and then, we got a lot to do. 2 o'clock, we'll have our NFL playoff picks. Let's go. 6 games. We'll do them all. We got to talk about the college football playoff. And I have a few fun pieces of audio. One being we have a resolution to the Shane Gillis versus Nick Saban.
And it's wonderful.
It's great.
I love it.
It is great. And so we'll get that to you. But where we got to start, Well, that was a blowout last night. And some contributions everywhere. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, the Portland Trailblazers stomped the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 119-100. A final score that doesn't really indicate how big of a blowout it was. It was a 19-point win by the Blazers, who were 1.5-point dogs heading into that game.
Yeah, we joked good about that value. One, but the Blazers not being favored on the road against a team missing Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy III, and Zion Williamson all out for injury. And then Herb Jones left in the third quarter. I mean, they had CJ McCollum, they had DeJounte Murray, but did they?
Did they?
Some of the least impactful basketball. Maybe the least impactful 23 points I've ever seen scored by CJ McCollum. And I've seen him do that a lot.
Yeah. It was 98-76 at the end of three.
Yeah. I mean, it was 75-42 at the half. I mean, this thing was cooked.
And you had Scoot Henderson finish his ninth game of the year for the Blazers.
Hey, on the floor as the buzzer went.
We talked about that yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Or 2 days ago, where he'd only finished eight games this season. A blowout like that, and you get it. But I think that that was a win against a very, very bad team.
Yeah.
Very bad team.
It's the second worst team in basketball.
Right now, they are in a dark place.
Yeah. It's not, like, this is what I always say about the whole, like, it can always be worse stuff. Like, unless you were, like, where they are,
yeah,
that it can always be worse.
It like, can that's, always be worse.
Like, I tweeted out last night after the game. Is it okay the Blazers won? And people are like, no, it's not okay. And then there's some people like, yeah. And like, if you had lost to that team, oh my god, like what do you even do if you lose to that team? And it's like, I think that's kind of where we're at with this. And people are fundamentally understanding where things are. And if you look at like the standings right now, let's say for all of the people, like, they're winning too much. If the game had gone the other way, number one, you would have been screaming for Chauncey Billups' head on a spike right then and there.
I wouldn't have. I would have said, good loss.
Yeah, well, you would have been screaming about Anfernee Simons playing something and, you know, Robert Williams playing over, you know, Donovan Klingon. It just would have been this complete abject disaster. But on the record line, the Pelicans would have had 8 wins and the Blazers would have had 12, and they would have been 4 games apart.
Yeah.
Like the
Which
gap
would have been good. Would
but the gap good. Between them is 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
6 games. This is a team that in a less than a month will probably go like on a 2-24 stretch.
The Blazers?
Yes. Like, it's going to happen. Everybody knows the deal. So this whole idea, like, well, you have to be in the bottom one. It's like, you don't. You don't. And honestly, this is going to sound super weird. The math says, yes, be in the bottom four. And it sure, would I like them to be there for the math? Yes. But the basketball gods have been pretty spiteful lately.
Yeah.
With the Spurs and the Hawks winning the lottery. It's gone to the team that has been an ethical tanker. And I joke, but I kind of like, I want to please the basketball gods. So continue doing what you're doing right now. And if you win a game or two that you know, I mean, again, the Blazers have 13 wins in the season, 3 of them against this Pelicans team.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know what I mean? But yeah. The thing that came out of this, I think it's more important. Shaedon Sharpe had 21 first half points. 21 first half points.
He played really damn well. I think the most encouraging part of that game was it was contributions from everybody, mm-hmm. but major contributions from the guys that we're looking at will be the guys that will
Scoot
be here long term.
Scoot to Denny. Scoot to Denny. The Shea to Denny.
Yeah.
I don't know if Scoot will be here long term. But Shea balled out. And we talked about this yesterday. The way that Anfernee Simons is playing, he's getting defensive attention. It is allowing Shaedon Sharpe to have these openings to attack on second sides, and he's taking advantage of them. By him taking advantage of that, now defenses are being put in rotation, and Tumani Kamara is getting opportunities to work as a back cutter. Denny Avdia is working second sides and working as a primary initiator. His downhill force is opening things up for Shaedon Sharpe, and you're just seeing these things just start working and making sense. Are they the best team in the NBA? No, far from it. But the things that you hope to see at the beginning of the season are starting to work because Ant's hitting his shots, Denny's hitting his shots, mm-hmm. and Shaden's being aggressive. It's like, oh yeah, they look like a remotely functional basketball team.
Which is good to see.
Yes. And I think those are the things that you want to see.
But the thing about it is that they can turn on their heads, and tonight, playing against a shorthanded Mavs team.
On a back-to-back.
On the second of a back-to-back, it could all fall apart. And consistency is kind of one of the things you want to see, especially from those young guys. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And I don't care about wins and losses, and you don't want to overreact one way or the other. But as it is right now, they played really well last night. And I think that those are games that are exciting and fun to see when the team actually does put it together. And you see what they're trying to get at. If you look at where the Blazers are right now, 2-4-6, they have the 7th worst record in the NBA, the entire NBA. Okay, that would be a 7.5% chance to get the number one overall pick. Okay, 14% is the odds right there. Okay, 14% is what the top three all get with that smoothing of the lottery combinations. Okay. If you look at where they are at 13-23 on the season, they are a half game away from having the 6th worst record, and they are 4 games away from having the 5th worst record.
Here's the funny thing.
Not bad. I don't think they're catching the bottom three, though.
No, you're not. But here's the funny thing, Dusty. I literally just went on Tankathon as you were doing that, and I clicked it once. What happened?
Blazers number one pick.
Okay.
Well, that's the lottery. Let's
and
go.
All right,
let's end it. We don't even need to do it. We're done.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like,
you never know.
Still a lottery. Like this one right here has the Blazers going 1, the Bulls moving up 8 spots to 2, and the Sixers moving up 4 spots to 4.
Yeah. We don't know.
You just don't. Yes. Look, if we're talking pre-smooth lottery, yes. Be so egregious that it doesn't matter because the math was it 8 out of the last. Since 2000, 8 out of the last, I think 19 years before, because it's smoothed in 2019, or eight of the last 18.
Yeah.
It was the number one pick. Well, or the best odds got the number one pick.
And
like,
let's,
it happened.
Let's remember though, that last year the Pistons had the worst record. They picked 5th.
The Pistons had it happen for 4 straight
years. The Hornets had the 3rd worst odds. They picked 6th. The Blazers had the 4th worst odds. They picked 7th. They 3 of the top 4 all got jumped.
Yeah.
All of them got jumped.
That's what happens.
Well, even Washington did. They were 2nd worst record and they picked 2nd. So they obviously ended up getting jumped.
Look, the amount, like you can try to create your luck in the math, and that, and I am a proponent of that. But not to the point of exhausting making your franchise and your fan base miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, I don't believe in process Sixers math, number one, because it doesn't, that math doesn't add up anymore. And as far as it's not because of the culture thing. That's not it. Because the second you get a star player, the culture changes. Do you think that, the Spurs culture wasn't good when they were getting throttled for 5 years?
Yeah.
Like, remember, their culture was so good that Kawhi Leonard, one of the best players of the past 50 years, demanded out?
Yeah.
Like, it's luck. It's luck. It's just, and it's the second you get a star caliber, an all NBA caliber player, it changes.
Well, I mean, you keep saying it, and I there are games where I'm like, yep, it's going to happen. Here it comes. That 2-24 stretch has got to come.
No, look, if it doesn't, I'll gladly eat it.
You know what? Yep. That is winning way too much.
Yeah.
Like, if they play like this the rest of the year, but we've seen, and how many other teams are going to shut down too, though? And that becomes also another issue for Portland. There's teams like New Orleans where I don't know if they could shut it down.
They already are. Like,
that team looked like they'd quit.
Yes.
And that is where, and that's one thing that you never want to see when your team is tanking, is you never want to see your team absolutely quit, because that's when losing culture really creeps in. Like, the players start feeling it, and that's what you see
on their faces. Miserable.
You see it in Washington, you see it in Detroit, and that's far tougher to climb out of than picking up wins like the Blazers had last night. If it happens too much, though, then you're like, oh boy, then you really are in a draft where there are 3 really damn good players, probably 4 or 5 really, really good players, but 3 truly, yes, they could change how things go. Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Derek Harper, right?
Dylan.
And what?
Dylan.
Or Dylan Harper, Derek Harper, his kid.
Yeah.
You have those 3 players.
Ron's his dad.
Or Ron's players. Yeah. God.
There's a lot of Harper guards.
But you have those 3 where you're like, they could change your franchise.
Sure. And there's going to be one or two guys in this class beyond those guys.
But then you also have to say it's a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lottery. And we just won't know.
No.
And you know what? Everybody that is in the camp of lose, 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 let the bottom fall out. Look, they're always going to have the shoulda, coulda, woulda argument of hypotheticals that we will never know,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's a lottery for a reason.
Yeah.
And nobody anticipated the Hawks to win it last year.
No, they were 10th.
And they got the number one overall.
The Blazers, when they got Greg Oden, was it a 1.2% chance?
Yeah. But
of winning that lottery?
And that's the whole thing is like, you just don't know.
No.
You really don't. And so just throw it out the door. If they're winning too much, whatever.
Look, if they start like winning, then it becomes a problem. Like, but I don't think that's ever going to be an issue.
Well, what are you talking about, man? They've won 4 of their last 10? Or they're
5-5.
5-5 in the last 10.
Yeah.
500 basketball team, man. They'll get you in the playoffs.
Ooh, doggy.
They'll get you in the playoffs, man.
Enjoy it while you can.
They'll get you in the playoffs. That's a play-in if you play that out the rest of the year. Get yourself in the play-in. Mm. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Either. All right. Well, it was fun to watch. Another fun one was that Cavs Thunder game was fun last night.
Unbelievable game.
That was good basketball. That was a game that
was playoff basketball in the regular season.
Meaningful in the players felt like.
Yeah.
We've had those matchups mm-hmm. where, like, you got a bunch of veterans who've been there before, and they really don't care as much.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two young teams who wanted to be the alpha of the
on
NBA.
The way
and the Cavs said, no, we're going to take this for the time being.
Cavaliers,
that was
baby.
Fun. That was really fun mm-hmm. to watch. And to think of their record and the fact that they didn't win that play-in tournament, like, okay. Yeah, or no, the in-season tournament, in-season, you're like, yeah. Okay.
The crazy thing
two
is
two of right, their losses in that?
Yeah. The Cavs right now, they're on pace for 73 wins.
Whoa. That's crazy.
They're 33-4, man.
That's crazy.
Like that's an insane record.
All right. Speaking of things that have rarely been done, we have 5 teams mm-hmm. in the NFL playoffs. Over a third of the NFL playoff teams have never won a Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Do you think we get one of those to hoist the Lombardi Trophy this year? Danny and Dusty, here's Rust with SportsCenter. 5 teams in the NFL playoffs have got 0 Super Bowls to their names. Do you know which 5 they are? Do you know what they are? Top of your head?
Bills.
That is correct.
Hold on. Let me
Texans.
Yep, that is correct.
Let me pull up.
Chargers.
I don't know. Yep, that's a third. There's 2 more. One's a glaring omission that you guys have right now.
Oh, Vikings.
Vikings, the...
And Lions.
The Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the number one overall seed in the NFC.
I was thinking of teams playing this week.
Never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's 5. So, of the 14-team playoff, that means we are over a third of these teams have not ever won a Super Bowl. Do we see it? Because if you think about it, like, Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have won a Super Bowl and have played for another mm-hmm. in recent memories. The Rams obviously have won a Super Bowl and
multiple
and have played for another. You have got the
I said multiple appearances.
Multiple appearances, yeah. But I don't. And the Ravens, they're due. Have you seen the 28 rule with Baltimore? It's not like the celebrities that die at 28.
Mm.
Trent Dilfer, Joe Flacco, both 28 years old when they won their Super Bowls in Baltimore. Joe, right now, Lamar Jackson, 28 years old.
Did he just turn 28 or is he about to turn 29?
Probably.
It's one or the other. I think he just turned 20.
I still just can't believe he's not 30 yet.
Yeah, it's insane that he's still that young.
But could be the Ravens' year. We're all wondering that.
Who are you actively pulling for? Because I have mine, 100%.
Well, it's the Lions. It's not even close.
Mine's the Bills.
No, it's the Lions. I would want the Lions to win.
Lions is number 2 for me.
And it would not be particularly close.
I am Bills first solely because of those 4 years.
Yep.
There is no more snake bitten franchise in sports.
If the Bills make the Super Bowl
and lose,
I will want them to win.
Yes.
Just because I don't believe the people of Buffalo could handle that.
No, I mean that will be the annexation of Buffalo to Canada.
Yeah, that'd be those poor fans.
Like
if it's
Bills Lions Super Bowl, it's going to physically hurt me.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be. my dream. That would get the T-shirt. I would buy the shirt. I hope both teams have fun.
Yeah.
I hope that game ends in a tie.
You know what is the crippling anxiety game? Bills-Vikings. Because both franchises are so snake bitten. One of them is going to have it happen again.
Yeah, that'd be easy for me just to be like, yeah, no Bills.
Think about what has happened to the Vikings, though, too. Like, yeah. It's not four straight losses in the Super Bowl bad, but it's unbelievable. Like, living in North Dakota, it's all Viking fans up there. And the number of Viking fans that were just like, the way that they just presented themselves is like, this level of, I'm looking for the word, just like, they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Always.
Of course.
Like, it was just like, they were so self-defeated, even when they're best times. And it was just like, God, are you kidding me? Like, even when you're excited, you just have existential dread. And they're like, look at the history. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong.
Yeah. I hope we do have one of these teams win a Super Bowl. In reality, though, I think there's only a shot that two of them can. And they are Buffalo and Detroit. And Detroit has got a long shot just because of the injuries that they have. Buffalo, that'll be a tough road to hoe because think of their bracket and the way they got to go. They have the Broncos coming in mm-hmm. in the wild card weekend. But then you're, in all likelihood, going to have to play the Baltimore Ravens.
We're going to go through the Ravens and the Chiefs.
And then you'll have the Chiefs. Like that.
That's a lot of demons to exercise.
Oh, my goodness. That is a really tough
and remember,
road.
It was the Ravens that the one bad game that Josh Allen had this year where he was like, 9 of 27? That was the Ravens.
Yeah, and that's going to be really tough. Lions, with all the injuries, going to be insanely tough. The Texans and the Chargers, you just kind of look at and you're like, well, one of them is going to be eliminated on Saturday afternoon. And then
somebody's going
to
win.
And then they're either going to have to go to Kansas City or Buffalo, you know, after that. That is going to be good night, Charlie, in the divisional round for either one of those teams. And then you have the Vikings. And the Vikings are an interesting one for me because of the fact that...
It's a really good fifth seed.
That's a damn good fifth seed.
14-3 fifth seed?
And you
what the hell?
You're going to be sitting there. You play the Rams this week, which that game is going to be a lot tougher than...
It's McVay, man. He's going to scheme his brains out.
Not just McVay, but McVay went and was like, I don't care. We're going to rest our guys this week. We're going to make sure we're healthy and we're going to be at home. But the Rams are also sitting there. I don't know if you guys have followed this, but they may have bigger things on their mind than the football game that's happening with their entire region being on fire. You know?
Yeah, they still haven't said whether or not they're going to move the game. They finally canceled the Laker game tonight. It's like, yeah, J.J. Redick's house burned down. Maybe we should cancel the game.
Yeah, that's not good. But you think of 14-3, all three of those losses are against teams that they will have to play in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Their three losses are two to Detroit and then one to the Rams. Those are the only games that the Vikings have lost this year.
And that was that Rams-Vikings game. That was the absolutely disgusting game, wasn't it?
It was 33-20, and it was in L.A., and I think you're right. I want to say that was – I think a lot of guys were hurt, and everybody's kind of counting out. No, Puka Nacua went 7 catches, 106. Maybe that was the first game that you had everybody – back and fully healthy, because Puka Nacua went 7 for 106. Cooper Kupp went 5
I think
for
that was
51.
When they came back.
Dying.
I think that was the first time that they came back from injury. And yeah.
Yeah. And that was no bueno. As the Rams fell into it was 14-7 after the first quarter, Minnesota led. And then they did not score a touchdown after that.
Mm.
And the Rams just kind of churned their way to that win. But it's interesting, though, because you would also, you look at it and you say, okay, they've played both of these teams before. It's hard to beat a really good team twice. It's even tougher to beat the same team three times. But we saw the Lions do to the Vikings in the regular season finale on Sunday Night Football did not inspire a lot of people to trust Sam Darnold or the Minnesota Vikings come playoff time. Like, mm-hmm. I am not wavering with Sam Darnold. I think that That was more of an aberration than what we're going to have.
That being the
forward.
Last game going into the playoffs.
Not good,
Bob. It just made everybody go, up, see, see, ah. It's like, yeah, we just awful. Saw 16 weeks of great play. What are we doing?
Yeah. He's seeing ghosts again. He's going to be terrible.
And it's like, yeah, dude.
But I think we're going to learn a lot, though, in this game on Sunday or Monday.
Right.
Monday, that's a Monday night game,
because we have
way.
5 days of football.
We're going to learn a lot about Sam Darnold on Monday night mm-hmm. to see whether or not he can rise to the occasion when the games matter the most. And this is it right here.
You'd love to see it.
Yeah. But if I'm power ranking them, I'm going Buffalo 1, Detroit 2 for the teams that have never won a Super Bowl that have a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Minnesota 3.
And the only reason Detroit is 2 is because of the injuries.
Yep. I will put the Chargers at 4. Just because Jim Harbaugh, I can't trust him.
Yeah.
I trust him. And then I'll put the Houston Texans at 5 in my power rankings of teams that have never won a Super Bowl that could hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
And the Oilers never did in their existence either, did they?
The Oilers?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But their history goes to Tennessee.
I know, saying,
unrightfully, we need to change
yes,
that and rectify
that. But I was saying,
even
if it did, they didn't even have one of those. Like the Commanders, they technically, it's just a name change. They yeah. obviously, the Redskins have Super Bowls.
Yeah. 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 Well, I do remember Kevin Dyson coming up short.
Oh, God. Goal line.
That sucked.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was a Super Bowl against the greatest show on turf.
Close.
They did win an AFL championship.
Oh, did they? Was it like 60?
Two of them. It's 60 and 61.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah, boy.
Weird that I had that in my head.
Those Oilers uniforms are so cool.
They're some of the best uniforms in like the way that we talk about the Bill Walton era Blazers jerseys. To me, which are the best basketball jerseys to exist. I think those are like when you're talking about like it's them and the original run Raptors and the Shaq era Magic. Those are the three best basketball jerseys mm-hmm. to ever exist. Those Oilers jerseys, that those 60s and early 70s era Oilers jerseys, I think are the best football jerseys in existence.
Wow.
They're perfect. Everything about them is perfect. It's simple but elegant. The colorways are perfect. Like everything just works. It's like those are just I have to go back to the Blazers game last night. Those Pelicans jerseys, those are an abject disaster.
Yeah, they're really bad.
Like what the hell were those?
I don't know. They've not done well with their.
They're so bad. It was like, well, it's New Orleans. It's it's Mardi Gras, and I'm like, those suck.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I get these aren't made for us now. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you sound like an old fuddy-duddy.
I know, but like, there's a reason why those Raptors jerseys, those Magic jerseys, those Blazers jerseys, regardless if it's our age or if people half our age love them, it's because they're just good.
Yeah, I've long said football technology, the uniform technology, has caught up to where those old uniforms are perfection now, and we need to see more of them.
We need to bring them back.
We have a texter on Vancouver for a text line holding a 50-1 ticket for a Lions-Bills Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Do you consider cashing that one out? Because there's websites that'll buy
The buybacks.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50-1. You going to let that thing ride? How much do you have on
what do you
it?
Get
I've got
back?
So many questions.
I mean, what do you get back? Probably most 15-1.
Mm. Oh, wow.
15-1 is probably the buyout.
Looking at this, right? He already got back to me. He said it's a $50 ticket offering
$4-1
over 200 right now.
Yeah, no.
No, hold on to that, dude.
No, it's four. I thought it'd be a lot higher this far out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wait another week.
Yeah.
Wait another week. That'll juice up. I wonder what that number's going to be.
Watch both teams lose. I guess the Lions can't.
But you know what? You buy that ticket knowing.
Yeah, for sure.
You buy that ticket knowing there's a very real possibility that it could be wasted.
That went. I wonder how long ago he bought that.
Yeah. Well, 50-1. That doesn't sound like a preseason number.
No. If I said preseason number, probably would have been like 75 or 80-1.
Yeah. All right.
But it's definitely not like a week ago, that's for sure.
No.
Definitely not.
No. I like that foresight by that person.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to appreciate greatness, and we'll do it next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Just when I looked up on Oddshark the exact Super Bowl matchup odds, right now our listener who has a 50-1 ticket that he said he bought back in August on an exact matchup of Lions-Bills, 8-1 right now. 8-1 are the odds of that happening, which that mats out then with the 4-1 on the cash out that he has on that ticket. But 50-1, I thought it would have been bigger.
I would have said 75-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm happy
that's,
for
that's
that.
Why, that's why I don't have, that's why I don't run a sports book.
I now am rooting so hard for the Bills Lions just for that one listener. One person can sway my mind.
You know what?
That quickly.
I'll tail him.
What?
I'll tail him on the pick.
Why?
Just because.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Just because. Because
I can. I'm a degenerate.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to appreciate greatness. I've made it one of my life missions that I believe Mike Leach, who is just one win away from eligibility to the college football playoff or college football Hall of Fame eligibility on the as a coach. I will use any time that I see Mike Leach's name to further this life mission of mine to get him into the College Football Hall of Fame. You cannot tell the story of college football or the game of football without Mike Leach. He deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that to my core. And I saw this come across my timeline. And if it isn't for his football acumen, look no further than this interview he did pregame with Marty Smith prior to his passing.
Got your coffee. Yeah. It is early. How do you take your coffee? What's the best way to take your coffee?
Well, coffee tastes terrible anyway, yep. So don't put anything in it to obstruct the harsh, bitter taste, and just put it down one sip at a time, you know?
So it's just all about the effect, the taste. It's not about the experience at all. It's about the outcome.
No, the experience is terrible.
I miss Mike Leach so damn much.
It's wonderful.
Because of things like that. Like, coffee does taste terrible.
It's not good. It's objectively bad.
And Mike Leach, he was drinking coffee. Don't add anything to it. Just sip it. It's the effects that you want. And that's all Mike Leach was about. And he was a results-driven man. And his results came up one game short, and he died, for goodness sakes. And they won their bowl game. And Mike Leach should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. We need to do this. Anybody that you talk to, we need to continue to spread the word. Mike Leach deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame.
He does. Absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt.
Because he took, think of the programs he took. He took over Texas Tech, Washington State, and Mississippi State. And he's still one or two wins shy of getting into the College Football Hall of Fame. That
it's very dumb.
In and of itself deserves Mike Leach to be in the College Football Hall of Fame.
I don't agree. I don't disagree.
I would say I rest my case. I will not rest my case.
Until he gets
in. I will
in.
Continue my case until Mike Leach is recognized in the College Football Hall of Fame. With that, we end hour number one. We head to hour number two, where the College Football Playoff semifinals, they get underway tonight in Miami Gardens, Florida. Trouble on the horizon or Jordan-esque performance on the slate for Notre Dame tonight? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.